Oh, right. I know tonight's Tuesday night, and I know that maybe somebody forgot about it. I know Sister Irma would have been here, but she probably forgot it because this is unusual. And at one time today, I had to think twice about it. I asked Shelby, what day is it? She says, Tuesday. I said, well, okay. Church tonight. But, you know, I know it's a whole lot of people and a whole lot of churches that they're not even having churches at all this week. And I think that, you know, that's between them and the Lord. And I know some people, they have to go out and they have to do last minute preparation for Christmas Day and for lunch and everything. But we don't need to be like the message that I spoke Sunday morning about Martha. We don't need to be like Martha and making sure that all the arrangements and everything is prepared and everything, and forget about the one that we need to be thinking about at all times. We shouldn't be thinking about all the other things in this world, because I believe if we put the Lord Jesus Christ first, then everything else is going to work out fine. It's going to work out okay. You know, I heard this week talking to a bunch of people at other churches and everything, they talking about, says, you know, we're going to have a play, a program, a Christmas program tonight, and says, you know, be glad when it's over with, because, you know, it just ain't coming together like it should. But you know something? I've never been to a Christmas program where anything was wrong with it. It doesn't make no difference how much time you put in it. As long as you put what time you got in it for the Lord, He's going to make sure everything comes out according to the way He wants it come out. We want everything to be so perfect. But you know, if we get involved in it and we get our hands in it and everything, we just kind of mess things up. But we need to allow the Lord to work in a mighty and special way. We really do.
But I was told here a while back, I don't know who I was speaking to, but I know some people that was, you know, said something about it. They couldn't hear me there at one time, so I just decided to start wearing a mic and everything, which maybe sometimes I maybe shouldn't even think about wearing it, because I can get loud enough. But here tonight, I just want to read the conception of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then I'm going to go to the book of Isaiah chapter 7. But here in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." In other words, what Matthew or what they're saying right here in Scripture is that the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, there was appointed a day, a specific day, a specific time that the Virgin Mary would give birth unto the Son of God, would give birth unto the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And she did, and not only did she find that, but it says, and she was espoused, she was engaged with Joseph. She wasn't married to Joseph at this time. She was engaged to him. Some people today, they have that where Mary had gone about
and slept with Joseph. But we know that that's not true. If you know anything about the scripture at all, we know that that's a lie from the pits of hell. That's what the people in the world is trying to say. They're trying to mimic everything. They're trying to come up with a way that where it will satisfy them and satisfy their own soul. But it says Mary was a spouse to Joseph, engaged to Joseph, before they came together. Before they was even married. Now today, in today's society, we don't see people like that anymore. We don't see people anymore that wants to get engaged and wait until they get married before they can consummate the marriage. But yet, they just say, this day and time, say, we can live together for 6-8 months, and if it don't work out, then I ain't got nothing to worry about. I don't have to go and file no divorce. I don't have to go and pay no lawyer for no divorce. Well, that's not God's way. That's man's way. That's the justice's way. That is the way of the land today. That is not God's way. And God's not pleased with that. But Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. She was found with child. She was impregnated by the Holy Ghost of God. When the dove came down that day and flew and touched Mary, then she was impregnated then. Now, there's never been another birth like that. There's never been another pregnancy like that. There's never been another lady like Mary. One time and one time only. And after that, then she became Joseph. Joseph became her husband. And said, verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Other words, Joseph, her own husband, wanted to take her away from the city that she was at. Wanted to take her away from the talk of the town. For the talk of the people, once, because he did not want his wife to have to go through the ridicule. He didn't want his wife to have to go through the mockery at that time. Today, we see that all the time. We see where the ladies today, I mean the women today, they're having mockery. Why? Because of the lifestyle that they're living. God's not pleased with that type of lifestyle. The only time type of lifestyle God Almighty is pleased with this lifestyle. And yes, you're supposed to get engaged first, and you're not supposed to go around and sleep with your girlfriend and everything. But now this day and time, like I said earlier, they want to say, well, I tell you something, oh preacher, it's going to be a while before we get married. We got to go ahead. We got to live together because I don't want to have to end up paying the lawyers this. I don't want to have to end up giving her half of what I earn. I don't want to have to give her half of what I've got and everything. Well, I look at it this way. If you truly fall in love with the individual that you're dating, then you ain't got to worry about it. You cannot fall out of love. You cannot fall out of true love. And that's the reason I don't understand how some people today, they get upset. They get upset with the preacher. They get upset with each other in the church.
And they'll just say, well, I'm not coming back to church because the preacher did not shake my hand. The preacher said it, something about in the message that kind of brought up my little pet sin. Praise God, ain't nobody got a pet sin. It's sin. It ain't nothing pet about it. God says sin is sin. It doesn't make no how big it is or how little it is. Sin is sin according to God. According to God's word. Maria, but then Joseph, her husband, wanted to put her away. Did not want her to be mocked and ridiculed. I can remember a time where if you was out here dating someone and if another individual, another man, would say something to her, smart or something like that, then the thing about it is, it wouldn't be long before the two men would be in a fight. You're supposed to take up for the one that you love. And I love this church. I love Faith Baptist Church. I love each and every one of you. And I'm not going to stand around and allow somebody to run you down and to run Faith Baptist Church down. I'm not going to allow it. I can't allow it. If I do, if I allow that to happen, then the next thing I know is then y'all need to have a meeting and y'all need to come together in agreement and say, preacher, did you hear about so-and-so, what so-and-so said about the church? What they said about so-and-so in the church? Yeah. Preacher, what did you say?
I didn't say nothing.
If I can't offend in what I love, then something is wrong. And I love this church. I love this church and what this church stands for and stands on. It stands on the biblical principle of God's word. But if I cannot stand up for that, tell people, so we use hush up. That's a church that I attend. And I'm the pastor of that church. You do not say anything about them because you don't know anything about them. You haven't come and visited. You haven't come and joined. Yeah, but I used to go down there. Well, what was the problem? The reason you quit? Well, me and somebody then church got in arguments with about something. They did? Well, how come they still in church and you're not? If I can't defend the church, then y'all need to have a meeting. And y'all need to ask me the question. Why don't you stand up for the church? And if I could not give you a good enough answer, right then you should not wait until the next Sunday. You should not wait until Sunday night, Wednesday night. You should say right then, preacher, we're going to have a meeting right after the service. And y'all need to discuss it.
And y'all need to vote me out because I don't have no business being here. If I cannot stand up in what I love, I'm going to stand up for that lady back there. Why am I going to stand up for her? Because I love her. I'm going to stand up for my daughter. Why? Because I love my daughter. I'm going to stand up for her. And I'll even go to bed for them. I'll even fight for them. I may have to go to jail, but that's okay. Praise God. People today, they so concerned about it. Well, if I say anything, I'm going to have to. They're going to have to call the cops on me, and then I'm going to jail. Well, bless God, that's where you need to be at. If you ain't got courage enough to stand up, the Lord Jesus Christ stood up. The Lord Jesus Christ got angry also.
Some preachers will tell you, no, he didn't ever get angry. If he didn't get angry, why did he allow Paul writing his scripture there? Be ye angry and sin not. Why did he allow that to go into the scripture? Be ye angry and sin not. There's a fine line in being angry and then sin. It's a fine line. You can be angry. I can be angry, but I don't have to sin because of it. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ, when he went there in his Son of God, what did he do? He caught the individuals in a casting lot. They was having the clothes, the people's clothes, the coats and everything, and they were just casting lots, just rolling the dice, rolling the rocks or whatever against something, and if they rolling it, and they was winning.
And here comes Jesus. He walked into the church. He walked into the Son of God, and he says, y'all ain't supposed to do that. And he was angry. Stand right there. He turned all the demons over. He turned them all over, but it wasn't like that. Praise God, when he turned them over, they hit the floor. And no doubt when they hit the floor, they probably busted open. And they probably busted wide open. They just might get right there and they hit the floor when the dish started flying apart. Why? Because they was casting lot. They was selling. They was gambling in God's sanctuary. And if we don't want to, I could take you to one church here in the city of Daniel, and I can take you to another church that we don't like. That on Sunday night and Wednesday night, they go there to sight. And they got a great big old screen TV, and they're watching the TV. They've been doing all of the worldly things that this world has to offer in the house of God. Jesus is not invited. That's just like I told Brother Abraham Marshall's son, last Thursday night when we left the luncheon over there, the Christmas luncheon, where they preachers fellowship together there. Well, I was coming out to the door, and him and two other preachers was talking, and I just come on down the steps, and I just overheard them talking. And when I did, they was talking about, they was talking about one particular church and everything. I said, that church will never do anything. So this causes nothing like but the devil. And one of the other preachers says, you know something, we don't watch it. He can come into our services. One of them said that sometimes I wonder if he ain't already in the services. And I heard it. And I said this. Now, I didn't say it to be smart. I said, do you know how to keep the devil out of the church? All the time? Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you have a visitation. On visitation night, when you have revival, if you have a 5-night revival, or 2-week revival, or whatever, you know how you can keep the devil away from in there? Open the doors to the church. say, Jesus, you are all this God. As soon as he comes in, as soon as he comes in with the first individual that's saved, hey, what happened? That old slewfoot, the devil, and his imps, his cohorts, I hate him to death. I don't like him at all. Yes, I can get angry with him. We need to all get up sometimes just practice like, pow, pow, pow. Smack him upside the head. Because he's waiting outside of the door when we leave the church house. That's when he's going to get on us. Because then we're going to have to serve the Lord outside. But we'll come in the house of God to worship him in spirit and in truth.
Glory be to God. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, have fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. You know, tonight, I know tonight is a night, is basically right now what it is where Joseph and Mary is traveling. They're on the road traveling. And they're waiting to find them a place to where they can gather together, where Joseph can be able to put his wife up into a room, that she wouldn't have to worry about the dirt, wouldn't have to worry about the straw, and wouldn't have to worry about the elements that's outside. That's what Joseph wanted to do. But that's not what God wanted. Joseph went up to the inn at night, and he asked the keeper of the inn, do you have any rooms? He said, no, sir. We filled to capacity. God knew that he wasn't filled. But see, God wanted them to travel on. They came, he came back, and he took Mary to where she was on in that time that they called the ass, which was a mule or whatever. to go about taking his wife at that time to where she could give birth. She could give birth to an unusual place and an unusual situation, because Joseph knew that he had never slept with Mary, and Mary knew that she had never slept with Joseph, and God also knew it. But even thinking about that, it says in Isaiah chapter 7 and in verse 14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the devil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her king." His name was called the Messiah. His name was called Jesus. His name was called Emmanuel. And all of them named with God be with him. And God was with him. Not only was God with him, he was with Mary, he was with Joseph. Now, one thing I want you to think about, and I'm going to leave this tonight for you to think about. I want you to think about the holidays that are ahead of us. The last holiday of this year. And like I said, Sunday morning or last Wednesday night or when it was, we just got a few more days to do what we promised God that we'd do in 2014. Have we done it? Are we aiming to do it? We can see where in the Christmas tree over there. The Christmas tree where God his Father grew. He grew the tree to the point that it would be strong enough and high enough to where they would be able to have to cut down and be able to lay Jesus on the cross. They took the branches off of the tree. They took the branches that was on the trunk of the tree, took them off. What I believe, and this is me now, I ain't gonna argue with nobody about it, but the Lord give me this. The branches that's on the tree. And the reason they was taken off to where they could be able to take and plant that tree. Plant the cross. Plant the beam there in the ground. They knew
that he had to go alone. Had to go by himself. Nobody else went forward. Even the Roman soldiers, they did not kill him. He took his life and he took it freely. Why? For me and you. For me and you, and for the whole world. The branches, I believe, represented mankind. We could not go where he went. We could not hang on the cross. He had to do it by his lonesome self. That's what his Father had given him when he left heaven. Did his Father give him
the plan? Or if you want to talk about orders to do that. And when they took the tree, the cross that they had built, they laid it down and they placed the Son of God on the cross. They stretched him out.
They'd already planted the thorns on his head. That already pushed down the crown that was on his head. Pushed it down so hard that the blood just came gushing out of his forehead and running down his face. He'd already been beaten to where mankind could not recognize him. He laid down. He didn't give him no fight. He didn't struggle with them. He laid down. And as he laid down, they took the nail right here, placed it right there. It wasn't here in the middle of the hand. And it wasn't in the palm. It wasn't in the palm. And it wasn't in the wrist. It was right there. You can take your finger and you can find it right there. It's between two bones right there. And they say that ligament there is the strongest ligament that there is in the human body. Now, I don't know that, but that's what this doctor said. But as he was hanging there, they took that nail and they placed it there. And as they placed that nail there, this arm over here, this hand over here, the rest part where they were going to place the nail. They took it and they placed it there. One, two, three, four, five. Then they took his feet and they crossed his feet. They put one foot over the other. If I was to do that tonight, I'd fall over. So I can't do that. But as they crossed his feet, and then they made sure that he was dead. The guards there, the Roman soldier, they says, he is dead. He is dead. He told the Father, Father, let this cup pass by. Let this little cup just pass by. Then the soldiers looked at him again and they seen where that he was still gasping for breath. They could still see him kind of lift his head up a little bit. and they took the spear that was in their sheath or shaft, whatever you want to call it, and they took it and they drew it out. And they took it and they placed it into the left of his side. Placed it into the left of his side. Why did they do that? They wanted to make sure he was dead. Because it says over in the book of Deuteronomy, speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, there would not be any bones broken. That it already wasn't broken, the other two, these bones. The reason they're going to break your bones is because the legs could hold them up, keep the pressure off of the hands. But then he took that spear, placed it at his side. And I don't believe they just took it and drove it into his side. I believe they took it and they went and drove it in and they kind of twisted it. Twisting it around that. It doesn't say, so, you know, I don't know. They could have. They could not have. I don't know them. But he'd done all of that for me. That one day, when he died and he was put into a barred tomb in Joseph Marathia, how he pronounced his last name, but placed him there in that tomb, a barred tomb. It was just, he just wanted to. 2 nights and 3 days, that's all he wanted for. He didn't want it for another week or two. He didn't want it to the point to where his body would be laying there and like Lazarus would start decaying and started stinking and everything. No. The third morning. Glory be to God. He started thinking about Donald Mahan. Started thinking about Brother Bill, Sister Donna, Sister Huff, Sister Shelby, and Sister Julius, and Sister Ray, Brother Ray, and Brother Jimmy. He started thinking about us. And that's when he conquered death, hell, and the grave. He conquered it for who? For me and you, that we could have life. But he gave us that choice to either choose him or reject him. Choose him or reject him. And the day that I chose him, that's when he placed the lights that's upon the tree tonight in my heart. And that light needs to be illuminated 24 hours a day. No sadness should come from your lights. But it does. Things happen in our lives that brings about things that we don't understand. But we're not supposed to hide that light. We're not supposed to take and hide it to the point to where we take it and you can take a candle and you can light a candle. We can take and cut all these lights out. All the lights in here out, the porch light, the tree and everything, all the lights out. It'll be completely darkness in here, right? Then we could take a candle. We could take one of them candles right there and we could light it. One of them candles there and light it. But we can take that same candle now we can take several books, and we can set the books on 1, 2, 3, 4, and then the next thing you know, we can take some more books, and we can cross them, and we can hide that light from that candle. When we hide that light, what comes back into focus? Darkness. Darkness. There's no darkness at all should come back into focus in a Christian's life.
The ornaments there. I think it represents all the blessings that God has poured out on each one of us. Because we know where it's talking about the ornaments. It says right there, it talks about that in the book of the Song of Solomon. Speaks about the ornament. Which I know the ornament that they're speaking about, the perfume type ornament. Just think about when we have communion around here. The blessings that God gives us through obeying Him, through the communion. God's been so good to me. And then there's one last thing. When I go to the tree Thursday morning, there's going to be some presents under there. There's going to be gifts under there. No doubt, same way with y'all, where y'all go and y'all will see presents, and some's going to have your names on it. See, when Jesus came into your heart, He had your name on His mind and His heart. Because He wanted to see you saved. Same way with me. And thanks be to God, when I went up, when I went forth that Sunday, and when I told the people that I just got saved on Monday night, and I belong to Jesus tonight. Hey, I opened my present from Monday night until Wednesday night. But then I went Wednesday night and I shared the gift that I received. I didn't have no idea what it was all about. I just knew that I tried everything else. And I knew that not only did I try everything else, but I knew I needed something that I did not have. And I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit laid that gift at my feet. And it had my name on it. And as He laid that gift at my feet, and the more I looked at that gift, the more the Holy Spirit was speaking to me through them three men, I realized that was a Jesus. And He loved me enough to place a gift in my feet. And when I said yes to Jesus, that's when I
I didn't unwrap the present. I'm like a little kid. I'm looking at a little small kid. You give me a present. I don't even thinking about untying the bow, putting the bow up, folding the paper, and take you half an hour to get in there. No, just give it to me, and I'll rip it right wide open. That's what I did that night. I ripped that present wide open, and I knew right then that somebody had come into my heart and changed my life and changed my soul. Praise God, because the next morning I went to work, and I told my supervisor, he come up to me, and he says, something is different about you today. I says, it is. He said, yeah. He said, what happened last night? Or what happened to you? He says, do you have a wreck with your wife pregnant or whatever? I said, no, sir, ain't none of them. I said, I just got born again into the family of God. He said, I should have been glad. I should have been glad. He'd been praying for me. Hey, we'll never need to give up praying. I prayed for my brother for over 20 years before he ever got saved. Our timetable is not God's timetable. When we think that the individual needs to be saved today, and if we're not going to be saved today, it's going to be too late. Only God knows when it's going to be too late. And only God is going to go to them and speak to them. All we must do is pray. We must pray like we've never prayed before. And I want to challenge each and every one of you. In 2014, pray just a little harder. Pray just a little harder. And what the Lord lays on your heart, you pray for that. And you ask the Lord for His leadership in the way that He wants you to go. I'll tell you something. There's something about Christmas. And then there's something about Easter. The birth of our Lord and Savior. And then the resurrection. Death, the burial, and the resurrection. Easter. Then we'll have two other folk. It was His freedom. He's given us freedom to come in and worship Him, Spirit and in truth. Our Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your precious word. We thank You, Father, for giving us the words to say tonight, Lord. Father, I thank You, Lord, for not forgetting about me. You touched my own heart tonight. Lord, I pray, Father, that we can all leave the house of God tonight, saying it's been good to be in Thy presence. And Father, help us as we go about into this world that we're living in and share the gospel with someone else. Father, so they can become a new creature in Christ Jesus. They can be born again into the family of God. And yes, Lord, have the name lifted and written there in the Lamb's Book of Life. Go with us through these holidays and help us that we may keep You in the center of the holidays that are here. And Father, that we'll always keep You in the center of what we do, that we will do it for Thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.